Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So devotees, Hare Krishna to you all. And thank you for coming. We are continuing our reading of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, yes. Last night we were in chapter 9, which was discussing the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. Of course, particularly, we focused on his pilgrimage. And this evening, we will continue, actually, and complete the reading of chapter 9, right, and then we will go into chapter 10. Let's see. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yes, so at the end of the description of the pilgrimage, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur describes his emotions, his attachment to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, as we said, has been the focal point in this 9th chapter. So, and Vrindavan Das Thakur was actually a disciple, initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda. And he has a very strong attachment to Lord Nityananda. And in Vrindavan Leela, in Krishna Leela, in Vrindavan Das Thakur is a follower of Lord Balaram, who of course is Lord Nityananda in Chaitanya Leela, and he is a cowherd boy. And the cowherd boys have a very boisterous mood, very enthusiastic type of mood, a boyish mood, you could say. So I want to read the verses just right at the end of this chapter, in which he expresses this mood. It's very nice. And including, he chastises those who don't appreciate Lord Nityananda. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives a very nice purport explaining that. So these things we'll read, and then we'll go on to the first wedding of Lord Chaitanya. All right, so, all glories to Lord Nityananda, who is the first manifestation of Lord Chaitanya. The glories of Lord Chaitanya become manifest by his mercy. One becomes attached to Nityananda by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. And one who knows Nityananda never faces any adversities. One who knows Nityananda never faces any adversities. Those who wish to cross the ocean of material existence and drown in the ocean of devotional service must worship Lord Nityananda. Someone said, Nityananda is just like Balaram. Another person said, he is most dear to Sri Chaitanya. Someone may consider Nityananda a sannyasi. Someone may consider him a devotee. And someone may consider him a jnani. They may say whatever they like. Even if Nityananda was a most insignificant servant of Lord Chaitanya, still I would keep his lotus feet in my heart. Therefore, I kick the head of any sinful person who disregards the glories of Lord Nityananda and dares to criticize him. If you find any follower of Lord Chaitanya who appears to say something bad about Nityananda, you should know for certain that what they said was actually glorification. Vaishnavas are always pure and full of knowledge. So if there's ever any quarrel between them, you should know it is simply part of their pastimes. If a person takes the side of one Vaishnav and criticizes another, he is certainly vanquished. Anyone who follows Nityananda without finding fault in him will surely attain the shelter of Sri Gaurachandra. When will that day come when I will see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda surrounded by their devotees? Let me serve Lord Gaurachandra under the instructions of Lord Nityananda, who is my worshipable Lord in all respects. I desire to study Srimad Bhagavatam under Sri Nityananda Swarup, birth after birth. All glories to the Supreme Lord Sri Gauranga. You have given me and then taken from me the association of Lord Nityananda. Still I beg for your mercy, so that my mind may remain absorbed in his and your lotus feet. Lord Nityananda is your greatest devotee. No one can attain him without your sanction. Lord Nityananda traveled throughout the forests of Vrindavan until Lord Gaurachandra displayed his opulences. Whoever hears these descriptions of Nityananda Swarup's visit to the holy places will attain the treasure of divine love. So I'm just going to go back to that one verse where he chastises those who criticize Lord Nityananda, or who disregard, they overlook the glories of Lord Nityananda. Eta parihari o ye, papi nindakare, tabelati marontara, shirira upare. Therefore I kick the head of any sinful person who disregards the glories of Lord Nityananda and dares to criticize him. So I will now read the purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In order to permanently stop the continual irreverence towards the Supreme Lord by those hellish people who enviously criticize Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and to render them eternal benefit and good sense, the author is ready to kick them in the head. By the statement of the most merciful Sri Thakur Mahashai to the staunch atheists, the transcendental goddess of learning, Shuddha Saraswati, displays the firm attachment of a servant towards his master. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, thus teaching everyone through illuminating words that although Thakur Mahashai and other pure devotees who act and preach in his footsteps are detached from those who are extremely uninterested in their own welfare, who are determined to run towards hell, and who are ignorant of the truth regarding Sri Nityananda. So although Lord Nityananda and the pure devotees who are following in his footsteps, they are like this, detached from these people, nonsense people, they're nevertheless selflessly and causelessly merciful towards the fallen souls. While Srila Thakur of Vrindavan, who is a Vaishnava Acharya, the direct incarnation of Vyas and servant of Sri Nityananda, enacts his pastime of transcendentally kicking, if even one particle of dust falls on the head of some fortunate persons, they will certainly achieve auspiciousness. In other words, their anatha nivritti, or freedom from unwanted things, is guaranteed. The exhibition of such great compassion by Sri Vishnu or the Vaishnavas is beyond the imagination or intelligence of the foolish non-devotees who cannot discriminate between what is favorable and what is unfavorable for their own welfare. So there's another one or two sentences, but you get the point that Sri, these people are such fools and rascals and nonsenses, and it's just, you know, what can you say? Mudhas, murks. It's just, you can hardly calculate the foolishness. But Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is so merciful that he may kick them in their stupid heads, and in this way some dust from his foot lands on their head, and it's for their greatest benefit. It's, you cannot, he says, it is beyond the imagination or intelligence of the foolish non-devotees, this exhibition of compassion in kicking them in their heads and giving them some of the dust from his feet. The all auspicious endeavors and behavior of the preachers and practitioners of pure devotional service to Gaura Krishna, who follow in the footsteps of Thakur Sri Vrindavan, who is the direct incarnation of Sri Vyas, display on one hand gross punishment on the fallen, averse living entities, and on the other hand subtle, unlimited compassion upon them. You follow the idea? It's amazing. At first reading, it sounds, you know, a bit extreme or something like that, kicking them. Wow, that's extreme. But, so it is, it's punishment. But on the other hand, it's unlimited compassion upon them. All right, so we've just completed now the 9th chapter. And, well, actually, while we're at it, let me just read the last verse. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. All right, so into chapter 10, which is titled The Lord's Marriage with Sri Lakshmi Priya, his first wife, his first marriage. So there are two main sections here, which we'll go through, both of them. One of them, the first one, is short. And it's about Lord Chaitanya's relationship or the development of his relationship with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was in school. He was a school friend or associate of Lord Chaitanya. And he was from a Brahmin family, but that Brahmin family had become engaged in Sudra activity, specifically medicine. They'd become doctors. Doctors are Sudras. Therefore, they were no longer really considered like real Brahmins, although traditionally the family had been a Brahmin family. But still Murari Gupta was there in school with Lord Chaitanya, and it's like, it's a Brahmin school. But still, you know, there was some difference between him and the others, between Murari Gupta and the others. So Lord Chaitanya Anyway, there's very interesting exchange between them. It's a nice exchange. We'll go through that. And then there's quite an in-depth description of the first marriage of Lord Chaitanya, what sort of led up to it, and then the event itself, which is very nice. All right, so Nimai, he was this, we might say, cantankerous, this, you know, argumentative student at school, at the school of Gangadas Pandit. We described in some detail just a few days ago some of the things he used to do and get into arguments and so on and so forth. So this chapter then begins by describing that. And Murari Gupta, he is one of the boys in the class, but because of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, this nature of Lord Chaitanya's of quarreling, squabbling, and apparently showing off his learning and his intelligence, Murari Gupta, he just decided just to stay away from Lord Chaitanya, from Nimai. So he did that. He wouldn't really mix with him, not like some of the other boys who are with Lord Chaitanya all the time. He would stay one side, Murari Gupta. So Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, he noticed that, and therefore he desired to have a confrontation with him and just, you know, try and stimulate him in some way. So the day this happened, one day, that day, Nimai had dressed himself, he wore his cloth like a sannyasi, not like your typical young fellow student at school. He was dressed like a sannyasi, and he was sitting in the virasan posture. Not 100% sure what is a virasan, but some sort of yogic position. At this point, Lord Chaitanya is 16. In fact, one of the verses actually says here, in his fresh youth at the age of 16, Sri Gauranga's beauty captivated even Cupid. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya is 16. So Lord Chaitanya, the school had finished for the day, and Nimai challenged, see who's intelligent enough to refute my conclusions. And he sort of spoke aggressively. Some of you students don't even know the rules of conjunctions of words. When one word meets the end of one word meets the beginning of the next word, actually in Sanskrit it's called sandhi. Sandhi means meeting. When words meet, then the last syllable and or the first syllable of the two words, they may change. Not always, but often they change. It's sort of a point of syntax, if you know what I mean. So that, just like we don't say a apple, we say an apple. It's a point of syntax. It flows. an apple rather than a apple. It doesn't flow. That's syntax. So there's a lot of this in Sanskrit. It's a very complex science, actually. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, some of you boys, you don't even know the rule, these rules of sandhi, conjunction. But still you try to study independent from us. You know who he's talking about. He's talking about Murari Gupta, who keeps away. Yeah. And then he says, thus they eventually become fools because they don't take help from someone who's in knowledge. Like who? Like Nimai. Yeah. So, hearing Nimai trying to provoke him, because he understood, he's talking about me, I keep away. But Murari Gupta, he kept a cool head, and yes, he just carried on with his studying. So actually, Lord Chaitanya was pleased that Murari Gupta had remained silent, but still he wanted to challenge him. Still he did challenge him. And he said, because as we mentioned, knowing that Murari Gupta, his family, and he himself for that matter, of course he's young, but he's in training to become a doctor. And his family members are doctors like this. And doctors, as we said, are sudras, low caste. So Lord Chaitanya, to provoke him, said, oh doctor, why are you studying here? You should go gather some leaves and herbs and cure the sick. These literatures on Sanskrit grammar are most difficult to understand, and they don't say anything about mucus, bile, or indigestion. In other words, you know, this is way above your head. Yeah. So, what will you learn by studying separate from us? You should just go home and tend to the sick people. So, actually Murari Gupta is an expansion of Rudra. Well, Murari Gupta is Hanuman, and Hanuman is an expansion of Lord Shiva, a type of expansion of Lord Shiva or Rudra. So Murari Gupta, he has that capacity that, you know, Rudra means very heavy, destroying the universe, but still he didn't become angry at Vishvamba, Nima. He didn't become angry. And he replied, my dear respected sir, why are you so proud? Why do you challenge everyone? Did anyone ever come up to you and say that? Why are you so proud? It's like, whoa, Hari Bhava, that's just super confrontational. Yeah. So, and then he said, have you ever asked me about any grammatical arrangements, sutras, and vrittis, panjis, tikkas? And have I, when you asked me, did I ever not answer you? You have never asked me. Yeah, you've never asked me. Yet you claim I don't know anything. So how can you say that? Because you've never asked me what I know. You're a respected Brahmin, so what can I say? And so Lord Chaitanya said, all right, tell me what you have learned today. So then Murari gave an explanation of what he had learned that day. And the Lord gave a different explanation of the same thing. And then Murari would give another explanation, and Lord Chaitanya would give another explanation, and again, back and forth, again and again. Neither, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, neither the master nor the servant could defeat the other. So Lord Chaitanya could not defeat Murari Gupta. Yeah. There were very few people who Lord Chaitanya tried to defeat but couldn't defeat. This Murari Gupta is one. And the only other one that I know offhand, the only other one was Ishwarapuri when he came to stay at the house of Jagannath Mishra. Other than that, Lord Chaitanya defeated everyone. So, feeling fully satisfied, the Lord touched Murari's body with his lotus hand. And just through feeling that touch, Murari became overwhelmed with ecstasy. Completely overwhelmed. And therefore, Murari Gupta thought, he's certainly not an ordinary person. Can an ordinary human being possess such knowledge? Just by his touch, my body was filled with ecstasy. So then Murari had a change of heart. Why should I be embarrassed to study under him? In all of Navadvip, there's no one more intelligent than him. Feeling satisfied in this way, the great doctor said, listen, Vishvambha, from now on, I will study under you. So after this pleasing exchange between the Lord and his servant, Nimai and his friends went to take bath in the Ganges. So now it goes on to the sort of leading up to the wedding of Lord Chaitanya. When Mother Sachi saw her son's first symptoms of maturity, she began to make plans for his marriage. And you know what happened after that? Wow. It's amazing. Tune in on Thursday. Tune in on Thursday. Same time, same place. And find out. Haribol. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki, Shri La Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.